This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Early odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an all-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early odds with Joe Ostrowski.
A friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
The light day of baseball out of the way, and the MLB grind begins. And even though it felt like college basketball went away, returns tonight with the Final Four, which is why I'm here much earlier than usual on Early Odds. I'm Joe Ostrowski, live from the Score Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. We'll hear from MLB handicapper Kenny Ducey over at Covers in a few minutes. I'll go over my World Series and Cy Young Award looks with Jim Miller later this hour. But I'll tell you what I've done so far in a futures betting perspective with baseball. So great with legalization that even though the season is underway, a lot of these win totals get reposted throughout the season and at some spots on a daily basis. And starting with the win totals, I didn't realize this until after I came up with my list, but the overs, it seems like mid to high 70s is really the sweet spot. I've been consistently talking about why I like the Cubs over 77.5. It was a nice start to the season. And the Orioles over that very same number, 77.5. That lineup is stacked. And a team that I expect to make strides in the NL West. I'm going with Arizona over 75.5. So my three overs, Cubs, O's, and Diamondbacks. Some unders that I like, teams I'm going against. I think there's a chance here that the Brewers are just god-awful. And possibly in the basement of the NL Central if they make some of the moves that I expect them to make. Brewers under 85.5. They should not be the second favorite in the division. Under 85.5 for the Brewers. Dodgers, missing a lot of guys. I think that's going to hurt them. Their depth is going to be tested this season. The Dodgers number 96.5. I'm going under there, and you know the New York teams, I kind of like the under on both, but if I'm picking one, I'm going Mets under 93.5. Doesn't it feel like they're already meting with Justin Verlander starting the season on the injured list, their big signing during the offseason? All right, crazy, just for fun, division parlay. I put all six divisions in it. This is just for fun. If you listen regularly, you know I don't talk a lot about same game parlays or parlays in general because they're losing bets. But hey, I'll take a lottery ticket once in a while. National League division winners: Atlanta, the favorite; St. Louis, the favorite; San Diego, the second favorite. Just mentioned how I don't love the Dodgers this season. So two favorites in the National League, and then in the American League, I'm taking the favorite in Cleveland. Now, Toronto's the second favorite. Love all the changes there. And how I really juice up this parlay, yeah, I'm going to do it. It's going to happen one of these times. Angels. Those are six division winners. Braves, Cardinals, Padres, Blue Jays, Guardians, Angels, 475-1. How does it lose? Don't know. Here are some season-long stat categories that I'd love to take a look at. As far as a home run leader, like, it was Judge all last year. Schwarber was a great pick. We were on that at 50-1 in the offseason, but never stood a chance because Judge had an all-time season. I'm just looking at big numbers here. Big numbers early on, and then we could adjust. If somebody's making a move or we see a great number, we'll certainly mention it on the show. Triple digits. Christian Walker, Arizona, is 100-1. Matt Chapman up in Toronto, 200-1. Marcus Semien, 300-1. And Varsho, one of the additions for the Blue Jays, left-handed bat up at Toronto, his number is 400-1. So just going with some bombs early in the season for home run leader. Stolen base leader in Texas. Stolen base is going to be a big story. We saw 21 stolen bases on opening day. I expect that to continue. Last year on opening day, we only had five. The key is a success rate very high at 91% on Thursday. Bubba Thompson, 50-1 to be your stolen bases leader. If he just gets a board for Texas, gets some playing time, he's going to be an opportunity there. And RBI leader, I'm just looking for a player in great offenses where I could find some value. And with Bo Bichette, 50-1, Alex Bregman, 33-1. And some pitchers in these stat category leaders, wins. You know, Kyle Wright took this last year, and he won by, I think, three or four wins. And he's starting off on the injured list. I think he's only going to miss a couple weeks. I took a pass on him for now. Kyle Wright, 60-1. I did not bet it, but I'm just saying he ended up having the most wins last season. Chris Bassitt, he's 60-1. A numbers play there on a very good team. And then Woodruff. Now, I'm hesitant to take any Brewers pitcher because I expect them to be dealt. Now, the Woodruff number, though, even though I don't love Milwaukee this year, 60-1, too much value for an elite pitcher who goes deep in games for me to pass up. So I went with 60-1. Saves leader, I love Felix Bautista. Mentioned high on Baltimore, 25-1 to be your saves leader. And the Mariners, expected by many to have a strong season. And their closer is 40-1. Paul Sewald, closer for Seattle. Good team, high win total. He should be in the mix as long as he holds down that job. So a few different options for you. And these are reposted at most sportsbooks on a daily basis. But as I always preach, you know, you don't have to get all these bets in March and April. These are things that will fluctuate throughout the season, and there will be opportunities to strike plenty of value when it comes to season-long bets in baseball. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Now, just like yours truly, Kenny Ducey, he was on the Phillies last year, and Ducey appeared on BetQL Daily. So we started off the conversation by talking about this year's Phils. Is there a value play that could make it all the way to the World Series? Take a listen.
Boy, you know, it is such a difficult task to pick another Phillies team because, I mean, really, I would love to pick the Phillies again, but Rhys Hoskins is hurt, and, you know, I think at this point that the team has undergone just a little bit too much. I think that the Blue Jays at 13-1 are a little bit underpriced. I think they're probably the most slept-on team coming into this season because, look, the Padres are stealing a bunch of headlines. They obviously got Xander Bogaerts. They have Juan Soto, who they got at the trade deadline last year to go along with Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis coming back. You've got, you know, the Astros, who added Jose Abreu. The Yankees obviously have Judge again. You know, there's a lot of buzz about all these teams, but no one is talking about the Toronto Blue Jays, a team that is just stacked top to bottom. And really, when you think about it, in this division, it's going to be a very tight race between them, the Yankees, and maybe a team like the Rays also manages to come into the race. But I definitely think the Blue Jays are much better than their odds would indicate. Unfortunately, I don't think there's a 5-1 team out there that has an amazing chance of winning it all. But I'm telling you, I think adding Dalton Varsho, you know, adding Brandon Belt as well, a guy that when he's on the field, which is a big win, is just a killer out there at the plate. And then I think they have enough pitching to get by. Their bullpen's very good. I think they're a team that's going to sneak up on people.
Yeah, you're speaking my language there with Toronto. I love them. You're right. And people aren't talking about them. They were a hype team last year. People are not talking about them. The walls are coming in. A guy like Barrios is their four. There's a lot to like there. I'll be self-serving with this next one, also on the World Series. The Phillies, that was a lot of value. It was 40-1, you know, throughout much of the year. 20-1 for the National League. So I'm looking in that same range. I want to get your thoughts on a couple of teams that I've thrown out there. One I'm probably going to hate a week into the season. But the path is there for the Guardians. They should take the American League Central as the favorite. They're 30-1. I think the rule changes could help them. And maybe it's finally time because they actually have some pitching. The Angels are 45. Guardians 30, Angels 45 in the American League. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't hate it. Look, and the Angels especially. I mean, Anthony Rendon is tearing the cover off the ball in spring training. And look, I know it's very polarizing when you talk about spring training stats. Some people love to read into them. Some people don't. But I think that the Angels have a ton of hitting. I'm personally a big Luis Renjifo fan. They're going to try to force him into the lineup at different positions. They added Brandon Drury. And obviously, if Rendon is anywhere close to himself, you got three pretty good bats in that lineup. You got a power bat and Hunter Renfro as well, they added. I think the Angels are a very good team this year. I agree with you. And look, what it comes down to is going to be the pitching. Reed Detmers is a guy who's very talented. I think he's going to have a huge season. We're not sure what we're going to get out of Tyler Anderson. Obviously, the Dodgers fixed him last year, made him a really good pitcher. But like the Rangers, who are wondering what to make of Andrew Heaney's sit with the Dodgers, we don't know how Anderson's going to look when he's not with the best organization in baseball anymore. But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of reasons to love them. Patrick Sandoval had a great World Baseball Classic as well. So I actually like them as a sleeper team. I would agree with you. The Guardians, I mean, we know that they have a lot of talent on offense. It's always been about the pitching for me. And they really, I don't think the Guardians have much pitching at all. Their bullpen is very good. They have 3 to 4 very good relievers. But I have a lot of questions about this rotation. I think that's ultimately what holds them back. Zach Plesac, Kyle Quantrill are not very good. And I'm not sure how good Shane Bieber is anymore. So I'm very concerned about them. I like the Angels a lot better than the Guardians. We're talking about AL sleepers.
The bigger bases, there's the expectation that it'll be more steals there. Shifts being banned and how exactly they're going to enforce it. We expect hits to go up. So runs will go up, scoring. What are some things that you've thought about where you think these rule changes, maybe even including the balanced schedule, is going to change things? Is this going to change team totals on a daily basis, totals in games, prop betting? Will it be easier to get after relievers when they don't have all that time that they did in the past? Let's say on MLB Network, they would clock some of these relief pitchers. Those were the ones that were taking the longest, the ones that were taking 30 seconds between pitches before firing another 100 mile an hour. What are some things running through your head that you think are going to be noteworthy going into the season for bettors?
It's the same thing as last season. We had the full-time DH getting introduced at the beginning of the season, and we were like, okay, well, it's going to drive up offense. And like it was last year, I think it's just a wait-and-see approach. I think certain individuals are going to be greatly affected positively and negatively by these rules. We've seen guys like Max Scherzer already have some fun with the pitch clock. I think ultimately, though, I'm actually someone who's very receptive to change. I think it's going to be good for the game that we have the pitch clock. I don't know if it's going to be good or bad for the shift. In terms of betting, I do still predict, like last year, we'll probably see more offense early on. I'm not quite sure what that means from a betting perspective. We're going to see, you know, a huge, like, 60% swing of overs or something like that. One team I do like a lot, I'll be like a politician here and use this question as an excuse to talk about them, is the Chicago Cubs, because Eric Hosmer is a guy that was significantly affected in a negative way by the shift, adversely affected. He's hitting 7 for them. I like this lineup quite a bit. There's a lot of guys who had a lot of ground balls. Trey Mancini is another guy who I think maybe just more of them find holes now. And then you add Dansby Swanson over the offseason. They're a team that has a lot of intrigue to me, a division that has a lot of intrigue, because I think the Cardinals are flawed. I'm not quite sure about the Cardinals pitching. The Brewers have a very good offense. They're a pitching factory, but they have been falling short in the last couple of seasons and really just relying a little bit too much on the contributions of a few individuals. I think the NL Central would kind of be up for grabs, but the Cubs are a team that has a lot of guys that I think could benefit from the new rules. And I think you can find them up and down the lineup. And in terms of their relievers, I mean, you know, I don't think there's anyone on this team that works super slowly, if anything. You know, their ace Marcus Stroman works very quickly. I think I could see a big year for them. But in terms of just general broad takes, it's going to be impossible to tell what's going to happen until we actually watch the first month of baseball.
more of a balanced schedule as well. Which teams do you think could benefit from that in terms of the opportunity to bet on best record or the team to have the fewest wins?
So I actually saw a market that you can bet on the team with the most wins at 105.5 over or under. And I like the under there because I think we're talking about balanced schedule. We're talking about parity in the league. I think there's a lot of parity this year when you talk about the fact that the top teams are just incredibly flawed. Obviously, Houston now is missing Jose Altuve. They're relying a lot on Jose Abreu. Frankly, out of all the teams in the top 10 of the odds, I think that the Astros are the team with the least amount of question marks. But still, I wasn't super high on their offense last year. I think they're going to hit a wall eventually this season. The Braves, obviously, they lost Dansby Swanson. There's been turnover there. Their rotation is kind of a mess right now due to injury. You know, they're starting Jared Schuster. Who knows how that's going to go? The Yankees, without Aaron Judge, second half of the season, were the worst, one of the worst offenses in baseball. Obviously, they have Judge, but who knows? Maybe he gets injured. They are obviously dealing with a ton of injuries right now. The Dodgers have had turnover. The Mets are coming for the Braves, right? The Padres are coming for the Dodgers. The Blue Jays are coming for the Yankees. And how about the fact that the Rangers spent all that money in the AL West? And then you've also got the Mariners emerging as a contender to the Astros. I think all of these top teams are going to have significantly hard roads because of the tough divisions that they are in. And so when we're talking about a balanced schedule, and I know that it's going to separate some of those divisional games, but still, I do think there's a lot of more, the middle of the league, right? That mid crop is so much better, I think, than in years past. Even a team like the Red Sox, who everyone, especially here in New York City, loves to laugh about, I think they got a lot of talent. Like, I don't think they're going to be that good, but they're going to win games against good teams. So I think that there's going to be no team that runs away with the crown of best record in baseball with 106 wins. So I love shorting them. But I also just think you can make a lot of money by shorting a lot of teams that have had a lot of hype coming into the season, like the San Diego Padres.
Kenny, let's hit on the awards market. Anything that jumps out to you when it comes to MVP, Cy Young, or even Rookie of the Year?
Yes, definitely. I think you can get Fernando Tatis Jr. at plus 1,400 right now if you do some shopping in the futures market. And I think that's a criminal price because he's only going to be missing a couple of weeks. He's coming back on April 20th, and I don't like the Padres this year. That's my biggest take. But Fernando Tatis was leading the way in the MVP race last year until he was suspended. And look, I know, obviously, coming off a drug suspension, you know, you want to believe Tatis that it was a fungus cream, whatever he said, or you don't. That's up to you. But if it really just was hair product or whatever, he's coming back to 95 to 100% Tatis. I think that's a great price. I think Mookie Betts is sort of on the decline just a little bit. You know, Acuna's had a little bit of a roller coaster of a career, even though he's been very, very good. And yeah, I mean, look, Soto wasn't amazing when he arrived to San Diego last year. I think Tatis could snatch that crown from Soto as the guy that really leads that team. So I think that that's not a terrible bet. I also like Royce Lewis for Rookie of the Year in the AL, which is kind of a wild one, but I do think he's going to come back within about a month, and everyone's so hot on Anthony Volpe. You get Royce Lewis at plus 2,000. You remember last year that guy came on the scene before he ran into a wall and hurt himself. He was unbelievable for the Twins, and I just don't think any of these other guys in the AL are really, really that good. I think Hunter Brown's a decent prospect, but betting on a young pitcher in their first year is always, always a roll of the dice. Volpe's obviously garnered a lot of love. I love Volpe, but I think that you got to reach for a little bit of value there because there is going to be some playing time that Volpe maybe gets taken away from. I don't think Gunnar Henderson is as good as his prospect ranking. I think if he was in last year's prospect class, he'd be top, you know, just outside the top 10. I was reading, you know, coming into his rookie year. So I think that there's a lot of value in these big long shots in these markets. Another one just I'll throw out there. Why not Jose Abreu at plus 6,600? The guy's going to, he's like, what is he, 45 years old at this point? He's 37. I'm just exaggerating, but he's going to be getting in the middle of a good lineup. Who knows? He could hit 35 taxi. He could certainly make some noise. So who knows?
Agree with a lot there. What Kenny Ducey had to say this week on BetQL Daily. Cubs over for sure. Really like that. Not so much on Tatis. And I'm not even talking about him missing much of April. It's really about this is decided by the voters. With some of the things that he has said and done and the cheating, are they really going to give him MVP even if he is the best player in the National League? I don't see it. There might be better options on his own team. Oh, I don't know, like Juan Soto. So disagree on the Tatis, but his other points, I'm there with Kenny. Up next, World Series and Cy Young futures odds.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
With Jim Miller. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score. Follow me on Twitter by my name, at Joe Ostrowski. That's at Joe Ostrowski. You've got The Score and the Odyssey app. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski with you a bit earlier during the NCAA tournament. Sports Radio 670. The Score back to 8 to 9 a.m. next Saturday. But always with me is Jim Miller, my guy of Hawthorne Racecourse. And Jim, we can still do this because every day there are World Series odds out. Every day there are Cy Young updated odds. Nothing changes because a couple of days of baseball. And over the last month, we've been previewing, looking at the different divisions, MVP, all sorts of futures for the season. But today we want to focus in on Cy Young and World Series. What really jumps out to you when you first take a look at these World Series odds?
There's two things really that jump out, Joe. The first thing that jumps out is that there's going to be some value because there's been so much movement. But when you have additional teams that can get in, you have the expanded wildcard playoffs to go to a 3-game set, anything along those lines, all you need to do is get in and you have that chance. But with guys moving around, with pitchers shifting different divisions, with just everything that's happened kind of along the lines of health also, I think there is some value. I think there's more value actually in the American League, but I'll tell you, there's one team in the National League that stands out to me as well at a price.
Yeah, I think you're right about more value in the American League, and we'll go over that value. But, you know, the first thing that I looked at, just it brought a smile to my face because at most places, the top three favorites to win the World Series, Astros, no surprise, possible repeat, Dodgers and Yankees. And I'm not saying they're all going to be bad, but I think these are some teams that maybe you can pick on. And we talked about that in division prices, or if you did something with Exacta, Trifecta, I messed around with some of that stuff. And the Astros, because you got Altuve out to the middle of June. McCullers is out until at least the second month. You know, Verlander's no longer there. Yordan Alvarez never puts together a full season. Now, they're great. There's no denying that. And if they don't win the division, they'll probably be in second. But maybe some team can pass him up. The Dodgers win total of 96.5 is a joke to me. After losing Trey Turner, Justin Turner, Bellinger, you've harped on the Lux injury. Are you going to get a full season out of Kershaw? And then also near the top, maybe because it's New York, the Yankees. Rodon injuries have already started. Are we going to get a Judge repeat? Are we going to get a full season out of Judge? So I look at the very top of the board and I say, good. I don't want any of those teams anyways.
Yeah, I don't want any of them either. And that's the thing that's amazing. I mean, there's so many injuries for the Dodgers. It's just one of those things that's so tough. There's so many injuries for the Astros. It's so tough. And really, can the Yankees repeat? And the Yankees had their issues, remember, the last 60 days of the season last year. So stay away from those. All right, so Joe, here's the one team in the NL that I think provides some value. It's at 10-1. That's the San Diego Padres. We talked about this team last week. Their lineup is an all-star lineup from top to bottom. I think they're pretty deep and consistent for pitching, but they're going to put so many runs up on the board. I think they're going to be incredibly tough. So let's start there. What do you think about 10-1 on the Padres?
Well, I love the Padres. I love them. I also really like the Braves, and it's a similar number. They're right next to each other at 9. I have a tough time deciding between the two teams which one I'm going to be in on. So here's what I just figured. I figured I'm going to bet on the team that has a bad start. And that's something that we should probably revisit, because we've been doing the show a while, and last year we were a Philly show. A couple years ago, we were a Brave show. And we've talked about the amount of value you can find during the season with teams that have poor starts. And the minute that the Phillies fired Joe Girardi, we said, that's a bet on team. When Atlanta had their bad start, and on August 1st, they were 50-1 in 2021. When they started the season at 10-1, you got to bet that. When Washington wanted to fire Davey Martinez, at least everyone that was covering the Nationals at the time, but they had that top-end pitching, it's like, hey, let's not fade this team. They still have this talented roster, and they were 62-1 June 1st of that year. You can find incredible value. Form an opinion on a team. It doesn't mean that you have to bet them in April. It means you sit back and you monitor. Oh, they had a bad start? Good. Good. Find the right time to find the most amount of value. So that's what I'm doing between the Braves and the Padres, Jim. I love both teams, and I'm just going to sit back and watch to start. And if either of them struggles, say, for a month, month and a half, I think that would be a good buy time.
Pounce there. That's when you pounce, because then you're right. It's going to double or even more. Possibly you've seen these odds triple on teams. So I agree with you, too. Right now, the Padres at 10-1. Yes, it's appealing, but I think you're right. You can sit and wait and watch all season long. All right. Three teams in the AL, Joe, and you can let me know if any of these have any appeal to you. Mm-hmm. And I'll go in the order of odds. First off, at 12-1, the Toronto Blue Jays. They're a solid team from top to bottom. I think they're helped by not having to play the AL East 19 times and things evening out a little bit. So they're sitting there at 12-1. Our Chicago White Sox are 35-1 right now. It's a poor division. They have a solid rotation, and I think their lineup is going to bounce back. And then lastly, a team we talked about for the divisions last week sits at 50-1 right now. That's the Texas Rangers, another team with a good lineup. They picked up Jacob DeGrom, and they're a huge price. Is there any appeal in any of those three teams to you?
I like three teams also. So it's I find that funny. I wrote down three names, and one is the exact same. The other two, I'll put it this way. Right size, wrong shape. Okay?
Okay.
A similar idea. We just went elsewhere. The one we agree on is the Toronto Blue Jays. And it feels like nobody's talking about them. They still had 92 wins last year, and it felt like they were discussed as they were some kind of a disappointment. I think they're better, Jim. The pitching is deeper. They added left-handed bats that I love. The walls are moving in. And then you still have studs like Springer and Chapman, Bichette, Vlad Jr. Like, I love the Toronto Blue Jays. And I also like the fact that they aren't getting pumped up. They were the hype team a year ago, not as much this year. I saw a 13-1 out there. Big Blue Jays guy. We're against the Yanks. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, the other two, you took an AL Central team, which I did as well. And you took an AL West team, which I also did. But we just ended up landing on different squads. AL Central one, I'm going with the Guardians. Your number for the Sox is 35. The Guardians is 30. I expect these rule changes to help Cleveland as much as any team in baseball. And yeah, they're dealing with some injuries to start with the rotation, but they are a pitching factory. They'll be just fine. Strong bullpen. They steal bags as much as anyone at 119 last year. That number is going to go up. They're a high contact team, so their averages are going to go up. I think the Guardians, not only the path there for them to win the Central, if that occurs, then there's going to be a path for them to come out of the American League. So you're on the Sox, I'm on the Guardians. And in the West, you're on the Rangers. God, I'm going to regret this, but I'm on the Angels again.
Oh,
I'm doing the Angels. They're actually better. And I know it's the same old Angels. They've got all this talent and they can't win with it. But I actually do believe that the pitching is much deeper than we've seen in the past. I love their young hurler, Reed Detmers, and he's projected as their four. He could have a fantastic season. And they just keep adding to that lineup. So the AL West is wild, man. You've got the Athletics that won't win any games this season.
No.
But everybody else is good. Like if I told you a story of the Astros, of course, the Mariners, the Rangers, or the Angels winning that division, couldn't you believe it?
Yeah. You could see three teams out of that division, I think, still at least competing for the playoffs. Not saying they're going to make it, but three teams out of that division, I think, could compete at least into the final month of the season to get in.
I think four. Are you leaving out the Angels?
I am.
Yeah. Okay.
Only for the fact that they're always so disappointing. They always seem to find a way to be disappointing and yet always have two guys in the top five for the MVP voting.
Maybe some crazy things are happening out West. Sacramento Kings are a playoff team. They're going to have a really
true.
Good seed.
Yeah, that's very true.
Who knows? It'll happen eventually. Maybe. Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score, with my weekly contributor here, my buddy Jim Miller here. And let's talk about Cy Young. Those odds get updated every single day. We saw all the ones go the other day. Let's look at recent winners. So there's one league I'm really interested in, and the other league I'm just kind of sitting out, but I'm curious what you think. Now, in the AL last year, it was Justin Verlander. He was your Cy Young winner with his 1.75 ERA. Even though he didn't have the strikeout numbers, others did. He could not be denied. We won a lot of money with Robbie Ray a couple years ago.
Yes.
A lot of money. Got him at triple digits. That was certainly fun. We've seen Verlander win it before, too. Bieber won it in the shortened season and also Snell 5 years ago. On the National League side, it was all Sandy Alcantara. A war of eight. He was awesome. Other recent years, Burns, Bauer, DeGrom. We know what it is. You've got to strike guys out. ERA is important, but those are the big metrics that people look at, and you also have to log a lot of innings. Let's start in your American League. That's the side that I have some longer shots on, Jim. What do you think in AL side?
All right, so here, and this is beautiful because it leads into teams we just talked about for World Series talk. So I'm going to throw three names at you at prices. And let's see with the different odds. First off, your Los Angeles Angels. Mm-hmm. Shohei is sitting around 11-1 right now. This is a guy that threw 166 innings last year, struck out 219, had a 2.33 ERA. Your guy, Robbie Ray, is at 40-1 right now. He wasn't great last year, but wasn't bad. He's having an incredible spring right now leading into the season. Robbie Ray could be a nice price. And then, hey, we both like the Toronto Blue Jays. If you want monster odds, Jose Berrios right now is 200-1. This is a guy that has an electric arm, has electric stuff. In 2021, he wasn't bad. He was 12-9 with a 3.5 ERA, but he's been very good this spring, and he's at a monster price, Joe.
Yeah, I love that. Now, the thing is that Berrios is going to be probably the four in that rotation. But
that could be a good thing. That means he's facing a lot of fours that are nowhere near his caliber.
Exactly, back half of the rotation. So that could be something. I was just taking some shots, and you know me, this is my betting style. I'm going to take big numbers early on, and then I'm going to sit back and watch and see if we can find some value during the year. Now, here are some names that, are they going to win? Probably not, but they check a few boxes, and they're going to make the move pretty soon. Like, they have the talent where maybe they're going to enter that conversation pretty soon. And that's how we got there with Robbie Ray. I'm just going to throw some names, some longer shots at you, see what you think. How about Kirby? He's 60-1. And we've got Joe Ryan. He's 100-1. That's available. All these have been getting bet down. The Kirby one keeps dropping. 60 is the best I see. Some places have it much shorter than that. Ryan, I see a lot of 50s, but there is a 100 out there. Rasmussen and Springs also out there. And Tampa Bay, we talk about pitching factories. They're going to find a guy that's going to be in the mix for the Cy Young and that people didn't even know their name a little bit ago. Rasmussen, he's 150-1.
and you got Jeffrey Springs. He's 200-1. So I'm just taking some bombs for AL Cy Young and see where we sit.
My killer with Tampa Bay is that they implemented the whole opener.
Yeah.
And I hate the opener. And you tend to wonder if that's going to work against anybody that comes out of there, only for the fact that, one, will they get enough innings? Two, who's going to be qualifying for victories? And just how is that going to be looked at upon the voters? So that's the only reason I stay away from Tampa.
Yep. Fair.
Kirby's the guy that's interesting to me because he's another guy, a young guy. Great stuff. People got to know him a little bit in the postseason last year. But he's on a team that could make huge strides this year, and he could be the guy leading them to do so. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Those numbers continue to drop. Maybe that's a number you do jump on now because he could easily jump out and have a very good first month of the season, and then those odds will be cut in half. So that might be one that I would consider playing right now.
Yeah, another one that I haven't bet, but I've been just watching it. And maybe part of the reason is I'm so high on Toronto, but Chris Bassitt is 80-1.
He's got good stuff.
Yeah. That's another one.
And he's pitched in some poor places, too.
Yep. Now, the problem is that dome he pitches in, too. So maybe he gets lit up a little bit more than expected. But, yeah, I mean, that's where I was looking at. Just taking some long shots, and then we'll have to reassess, and maybe we can find a Robbie Ray. Let's go to the National League side. And, you know, what really pops here is, of course, Sandy Alcantara is your favorite because he won last year. Not a big surprise. Burns up there. Verlander up there. All these numbers are shorter than 10. Same thing with Scherzer. I saw him at about 8-1. The Brewers ones, I would just warn people to stay away, stay far, far away, because Burns and or Woodruff are going to be dealt by the Brewers. And if they get traded to an American League side, they cannot win the NL Cy Young, no matter how great their season is going.
Yep. I'd stay away from all of them. All of those guys you mentioned under 10-1. Here's the thing. All right, again, teams we just talked about. What about Atlanta? What about Max Fried? He was second in the voting last year. Yeah. He's sitting at 12-1 right now. Go a little bit deeper down to a guy that you even mentioned. He's won a Cy Young already. Blake Snell in San Diego is sitting at 50-1 right now. This is a guy who he's their number one on a team that's going to win a lot of games. And then here's my price play in the NL, Joe. Mm-hmm. At 100-1 right now out of St. Louis, and he has to stay healthy. Jack Flaherty. His 2019 numbers were insane. If he can get back to that, he had a 2.75 ERA, 230 plus Ks in 196 innings. That's a team that I think wins that division in the NL Central. And I think he's a guy, if he stays healthy, can carry him to it.
I love Flaherty. He's phenomenal. What's the number on him again?
100-1 right now.
I don't see him posted at every sports book. And you're right. There is that clear path. I mean, they had two guys that were neck and neck for the NL MVP last year. Goldschmidt ends up taking it home. There's not much competition for that National League Central. And baseball's funny. Weird things happen. We both think the Cubs are going to have a very good year. We like the over 77.5 wins. And I could see the Cubs finishing in second place. But where's the competition? I'm anti-Brewers big time. Where's the competition?
Cubs could be in second place and be 10, 12 games back.
Yeah, yeah. And that would be a very good season for them because that means they're likely around or above 500. But Flaherty's fantastic. When he's on, when he's 100% healthy, he's as good as anyone. So that's an amazing number.
That number at 100-1, it surprised me. And I know it's because of the health. Mm-hmm. It's because of not being able to complete a season over the course of the last 2 years. Yep. But he's healthy now. He's got so much offensive backing. And he's in a division that is not good. So this is a guy that I thought that was a great number. That was a number that, again, much like Kirby at 60-1, I will probably be playing Flaherty at 100-1 right now.
Yep, I agree with that one. That's great. I'm glad you put that on my radar because I'm going to make sure that I get that bet in. What about the horses today, Jim?
So there's a couple of derby preps that you want to look at. We had some derby preps last week, a couple more 100-point derby preps, and we caught a winner last week, too, winning two fills at Turfway. So here we go. Oaklawn Park, a race number 10. We're going to bet the 6, wet paint across the board. If she wins that, she's headed to the Kentucky Oaks. Then Oaklawn, race 12, is the Arkansas Derby. Bet the 8, reincarnate across the board. And then Gulfstream Park, race 14, is the Florida Derby. Bet the 11, Forte to win. If that horse wins, that horse will be your favorite in the Derby.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to actually ask you about that. Last week, of all the preps races, tell me if I'm wrong, but the one that is typically brought up from last weekend is the Louisiana Derby. And the results there, Kings Barnes, your winner, Disarm, second, Jace's Road, third. Anything to take away from the Louisiana?
It was a weird race because Kings Barn made the top and took them all the way around, and there was no pace in the race. The thing about the Kentucky Derby, when you get 20 horses in there, odds are you're going to have a heated pace. And we did last year, and it completely fell apart, and Rich Strike picked them all off. Mm-hmm. That's why I liked Two Phil's race at Turfway Park last week. This was a horse that rated fourth in that spot, ranged up three wide, didn't have a great trip, and then won by almost six lengths. And this is a horse that I think is headed in the right direction, stands atop the Derby points leaderboard. And the cool thing about it, Joe, he's stabled when he's not racing at Hawthorne Racecourse. That's his training site. So it's very cool to follow him for that as well.
Very good. Jim, you know what next weekend is?
What do we got?
Masters.
Oh, my gosh. Another great weekend.
Snuck up on you, right?
Another great weekend.
We've got Final Four this weekend, championship on Monday. Then, boom, right into the Masters. Love it. Perfect.
It's going to be so much fun. Awesome.
All right. Enjoy the weekend, Jim. Hope the weather's nice for you. And I know you've been busy umpiring. That's the other thing, baseball. I hope we have an April that cooperates, because last year was brutal.
March has been cold. I umpire in a lot of very cold weather right now, but I'll tell you, I'm happy to see him out there playing. So as long as there's no snow on the ground, let's play ball.
Jim Miller, Hawthorne Racecourse, at Hawthorne Jim on Twitter. Thank you, Jim. Talk soon. Talk next week, all right?
You got it. Thanks, Joe.
Your Masters odds have Rory as a 7-1 favorite, Scottie Scheffler +750, John Rahm +850, then a significant drop-off after that top three. We'll have all sorts of Masters bets all week on a new look, BetQL Daily. We announced our new co-host yesterday, which I'm very excited about, Ed Egros, most recently with Next Gen Stats, and Ed will bring an analytics background to help all of us make money on a daily basis betting sports and just learn more about this. He studied predictive analytics at Northwestern, so we're thrilled. BetQL Daily. Check us out weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on the Odyssey app, Twitch, YouTube. If you have an HD radio, 105.9 FM, HD2, and, of course, the podcast. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, and we hit the Final Four next on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Has it set in that San Diego State or Florida Atlantic will be playing for the national championship in 2 days? Took most of the week for that one to settle in for me. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And yesterday we caught up with Isaac Trotter of CBS Sports to let us know how he's bet tonight's game. Take a listen.
I think one thing that we talk a lot about throughout this entire prep is how good San Diego State is at taking away the three. Teams are just 5-for-44 from three-point range against San Diego State in the NCAA tournament this year. But I feel like that's a little unsustainable. Like 5-for-44 is pretty hard to do. That feels a little unsustainable. And so when you're talking about an FAU team that wants to shoot a ton of threes, and if you look at the pure volume of threes that San Diego State gives up per game, I think they give up over 22 three-point attempts per game. That kind of plays right into FAU's hands. So I like FAU +3 in this spot. I lean the under because I think that what we've seen a lot from FAU is they're fine to play any different type of style. So I think if this is a low possession game, they're going to be just good with that. And the other thing I look back at too is we saw against Tennessee a very similar type of defense that San Diego State plays. They have a lot of the same defensive principles. So I would be surprised if FAU is overmatched or out physical by this San Diego State team, just because they've seen it so many times. It's one of the most battle-tested teams in the country. So I think they have a great chance just based off their path against San Diego State.
Yeah, that Tennessee game is so big to me as well. I think that's a major part of the handicap for most that are on the FAU side, pointing to that Tennessee game. And they went into that week of prep talking about how, you know, it's going to be a street fight, and they were prepared and they were ready for it. There's no reason to think that that wouldn't be the exact same thing. You mentioned lean to the total, 131 in the hook. That has not moved all week. We know how the Aztecs play, fourth in defensive efficiency, and FAU, quality defense as well. Number 11 defense in a two-point percentage in the nation. You said lean, so it's not quite a play. What's the hesitation there? Is it just that everybody knows how these two teams play it, and that is a low, low number?
Yeah, no, I honestly think the under is going to end up being a play for me. I think it's one of those things that my only hesitation with it is what we've seen from FAU is they'll play a lot of deep drop coverage and they force a lot of tough twos. And that is good in theory, right? But like that plays right into what San Diego State wants to do. They're a very good mid-range shooting team. So that's maybe more my only concern about playing the under in that matchup. But I still think it's really hard to win with a lot of tough twos. And I expect this game to go under just with the possessions that we're talking about. And then the other thing too is that like if FAU, we haven't really seen them shoot just shoot the cover off the ball from three. So like if they can get into the low 30s, I think they can cover plus three and potentially win this game outright. But like we've seen before, like there's been often times where this FAU team can really struggle to shoot the three. But I do think they're going to get a ton of volume of attempts. So another one I'm looking at too from a props perspective, Nick Boyd over 1.5 threes is even right now. I think that's a really interesting one. He is a guy who's shooting close to the 40s from three in conference play. So he's been pretty good down the stretch. And just from a pure volume perspective too, multiple times this tournament, we've seen him get 6 or 7 three-point attempts per game. So if he gets to that number, that 6 or 7 three-point attempts for a career, you know, 38% three-point shooter, I think he's got a great chance. And like we talked about, San Diego State doesn't force a ton of turnovers. So if FAU runs its offense without turning over, I think they had 22 turnovers against Kansas State, they're going to get shots. So like the volume of shots is going to be there for their three-point shooters, and they're capable to make them.
All right, Isaac, let's move to the nightcap, the late game. The point spread has not budged in this one. We've been sitting at a rock solid 5.5. The Huskies, the favorite over the Canes, and the total 149.5. The question, will UConn continue to pummel teams like they did in the first four games on their way to the Final Four?
Yeah, I think we're at the point where it would be an upset if UConn didn't win the national title. And I think they're minus 125 to win it all right now. So that's kind of interesting. It has my attention. But in this point, I think I just like the side here more than, or the total, I mean, more than the side. Miami has been one of the teams that, like, it's really hard to pinpoint them. But I do know that defensively they're going to struggle. I think UConn's going to get really good looks. So I look at that over 149, over 149.5 in certain spots. I think that when you talk about this UConn team, like, they're one of the best assist rate teams in the country. And Miami's one of the worst. So if you look at Andre Jackson over 5.5 dimes, that makes a ton of sense to me. He's hit that in every single game in the NCAA tournament this year. And then also he had 10 last game against Gonzaga. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And Miami, they have won, but each of the last three games, they've allowed over a point per possession defensively. So like this is not a Miami defense that's going to really scare you. I think UConn gets phenomenal looks all game long. I do think that this comes down to if Norchad Omier stays out of foul trouble. If Norchad Omier's out of foul trouble, Miami can cover plus 5.5. Absolutely. No doubt in my mind. Because we've talked about like when he's on the floor, they're plus 17 per 100 possessions. When he's off the floor, they're minus 5 per 100 possessions. So that's a pretty significant jump there between just with that one dude being on and off the floor. And they just absolutely need him to match up against that UConn front line that's one of the best in the country.
Who do you think has the coaching advantage in this matchup?
I think Jim Larranega is the best coach in the Final Four, just because he's been there. Only coach that's been in the Final Four that matters. And some of his late game adjustments have been really, really good lately. And the other thing too is he just feels so at ease and so at peace in stressful situations. I think we saw late in that Texas game, he calls a timeout and he's like, where else did you guys want to be? It's like a late game scenario. Like, what else would you want to do? So I feel like he's really found a way to be like that grandpa of college basketball and make his team lose light and happy. And so I expect Miami to play well. That's the thing, too. It's like, that's why I'm so scared to, like, just go, hey, UConn minus 5.5. Because this Miami team, they have the best guards. And they are, like, a tough shot-making team. And they have this pure volume. And I keep looking at Jordan Miller's prop line. I think right now it's 14.5. And if you look through UConn's advanced analytics, their one issue so far this year has been isolation defense. They're kind of middle of the pack in that. Jordan Miller's the best isolation scorer in the country and the best left in the tournament. And he averages well over 1.1 points per possession on that. So if he doesn't get a pure ton of volume of shots, but if he's going up against Alex Caravan, we're talking about a fifth-year senior against a freshman, I think Jordan Miller could be in for another really big day, although his points perhaps a little bit elevated after that 27-point showing against Texas.
If it's UConn and FAU, some of the projected lines I've seen for Monday is about 7. How would you view that matchup if that's what happens? I assume you're thinking FAU wins. You're on the plus 3.
Yeah, I do. That's the kind of the outcome that I would like the most. I think that would be the most intriguing national championship game. I think from a style perspective, you could argue UConn's been the most dominant team in college basketball this year. And just from a pure raw wins, like Florida Atlantic will have the most wins of any team in the country. So like that's going to be a high level matchup. But again, I just keep going back to the thing with FAU that I don't love about their matchup against UConn is they have a really good big man inside. Vladislav Golden's been fantastic this year. His on-off splits have been phenomenal. But if he gets in foul trouble, they can get real thin real quick against a UConn front line that just keeps coming over and over and over again. I feel like UConn's going to be able to stay really attached to FAU's shooters. So I think UConn's toughest game is this one against Miami. If they get past this one, I think they'll win it all. But man, it's a little scary because this Miami team could really foil all these plans. And then what do we know? Like on Monday, it's probably going to be like San Diego State, Miami, just like we all suspected.
Isaac Trotter of CBS Sports with his thoughts on how to bet tonight's Final Four matchups. The new and improved version of BetQL Daily with brand new co-host Ed Egros hits the air on Monday. So hang with us weekdays, 8 to 11 a.m. on the BetQL Network via 105.9 FM, HD2, Odyssey app, and also the podcast. What am I on? As if you couldn't tell. FAU plus 3
over 131.5 in that game, too. And in the nightcap, UConn continues to make me money. I'm holding the Huskies 24-1 from right before the tournament, so I don't need to bet them again, but I probably will. Follow me on Twitter, at Joe Ostrowski, by my name, at Joe Ostrowski. BetQL's countdown to tip-off is next on the Score. Back in our usual 8 to 9 a.m. slot next Saturday morning. Cash those tickets and keep it locked right here on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Has it set in that San Diego State or Florida Atlantic will be playing for the national championship in 2 days? Took most of the week for that one to settle in for me. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And yesterday we caught up with Isaac Trotter of CBS Sports to let us know how he's bet tonight's game. Take a listen.
I think one thing that we talk a lot about throughout this entire prep is how good San Diego State is at taking away the three. Teams are just 5 for 44 from three-point range against San Diego State in the NCAA tournament this year, but I feel like that's a little unsustainable. Like 5 for 44 is pretty hard to do. That feels a little unsustainable. And so when you're talking about an FAU team that wants to shoot a ton of threes, and if you look at the pure volume of threes that San Diego State gives up per game, I think they give up over 22 three-point attempts per game. That kind of plays right into FAU's hands. So I like FAU plus three in this spot. I lean the under because I think that what we've seen a lot from FAU is they're fine to play any different type of style. So I think if this is a low possession game, they're going to be just good with that. And the other thing I look back at too is we saw against Tennessee a very similar type of defense that San Diego State plays. They have a lot of the same defensive principles. So I would be surprised if FAU is overmatched or out physical by this San Diego State team, just because they've seen it so many times. It's one of the most battle-tested teams in the country. So I think they have a great chance just based off their path against San Diego State.
Yeah, that Tennessee game is so big to me as well. I think that's a major part of the handicap for most that are on the FAU side, pointing to that Tennessee game. And they went into that week of prep talking about how, you know, it's going to be a street fight, and they were prepared and they were ready for it. There's no reason to think that that wouldn't be the exact same thing. You mentioned lean to the total, 131 in the hook. That has not moved all week. We know how the Aztecs play, fourth in defensive efficiency, and FAU, quality defense as well. Number 11 defense in a 2-point percentage in the nation. You said lean, so it's not quite a play. What's the hesitation there? Is it just that everybody knows how these two teams play it, and that is a low, low number?
Yeah, no, I honestly think the under is going to end up being a play for me. I think it's one of those things that my only hesitation with it is what we've seen from FAU is they'll play a lot of deep drop coverage and they force a lot of tough twos. And that is good in theory, right? But like that plays right into what San Diego State wants to do. They're a very good mid-range shooting team. So that's maybe more my only concern about playing the under in that matchup. But I still think it's really hard to win with a lot of tough twos. And I expect this game to go under just with the possessions that we're talking about. And then the other thing too is that like if FAU, we haven't really seen them shoot the cover off the ball from three. So like if they can get into the low 30s, I think they can cover plus three and potentially win this game outright. But like we've seen before, like there's been often times where this FAU team can really struggle to shoot the three, but I do think they're going to get a ton of volume of attempts. So another one I'm looking at too from a props perspective, Nick Boyd over 1.5 threes is even right now. I think that's a really interesting one. He is a guy who's shooting close to the 40s from three in conference play, so he's been pretty good down the stretch. And just from a pure volume perspective too, multiple times this tournament we've seen him get 6 or 7 three-point attempts per game. So if he gets to that number, that 6 or 7 three-point attempts for a career, you know, 38% three-point shooter, I think he's got a great chance. And like we talked about, San Diego State doesn't force a ton of turnovers. So if FAU runs its offense without turning over, I think they had 22 turnovers against Kansas State, they're going to get shots. So like the volume of shots is going to be there for their three-point shooters, and they're capable to make them.
All right, Isaac, let's move to the nightcap, the late game. The point spread has not budged in this one. We've been sitting at a rock solid 5.5. The Huskies, the favorite over the Canes, and the total 149.5. The question, will UConn continue to pummel teams like they did in the first four games on their way to the Final Four?
Yeah, I think we're at the point where it would be an upset if UConn didn't win the national title. And I think they're minus 125 to win it all right now. So that's kind of interesting. It has my attention. But in this point, I think I just like the side here more than, or the total, I mean, more than the side. Miami has been one of the teams that, like, it's really hard to pinpoint them. But I do know that defensively they're going to struggle. I think UConn's going to get really good looks. So I look at that over 149, over 149.5 in certain spots. I think that when you talk about this UConn team, like, they're one of the best assist rate teams in the country. And Miami's one of the worst. So if you look at Andre Jackson over 5.5 dimes, that makes a ton of sense to me. He's hit that in every single game in the NCAA tournament this year. And then also he had 10 last game against Gonzaga. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And Miami, they have won, but each of the last three games, they've allowed over a point per possession defensively. So like this is not a Miami defense that's going to really scare you. I think UConn gets phenomenal looks all game long. I do think that this comes down to if Norchad Omier stays out of foul trouble. If Norchad Omier's out of foul trouble, Miami can cover plus 5.5. Absolutely. No doubt in my mind. Because we've talked about like when he's on the floor, they're plus 17 per 100 possessions. When he's off the floor, they're minus 5 per 100 possessions. So that's a pretty significant jump there between just with that one dude being on and off the floor. And they just absolutely need him to match up against that UConn front line that's one of the best in the country.
Who do you think has the coaching advantage in this matchup?
I think Jim Larranega is the best coach in the Final Four. Just because he's been there, only coach that's been in the Final Four, that matters. And some of his late game adjustments have been really, really good lately. And the other thing, too, is he just feels so at ease and so at peace in stressful situations. I think we saw late in that Texas game, he calls a timeout and he's like, where else did you guys want to be? It's like a late game scenario. Like, what else would you want to do? So I feel like he's really found a way to be like that grandpa of college basketball and make his team loose, light, and happy. And so I expect Miami to play well. That's the thing, too. It's like, that's why I'm so scared to like just go, hey, UConn minus 5.5. Because this Miami team, they have the best guards. And they are like a tough shot-making team. And they have this pure volume. And I keep looking at Jordan Miller's prop line. I think right now it's 14.5. And if you look through UConn's advanced analytics, their one issue so far this year has been isolation defense. They're kind of middle of the pack in that. Jordan Miller's the best isolation scorer in the country and the best left in the tournament. And he averages well over 1.1 points per possession on that. So if he doesn't get a pure ton of volume of shots, but if he's going up against Alex Caravan, we're talking about a fifth-year senior against a freshman, I think Jordan Miller could be in for another really big day, although his points perhaps a little bit elevated after that 27-point showing against Texas.
If it's UConn and FAU, some of the projected lines I've seen for Monday is about 7. How would you view that matchup if that's what happens? I assume you're thinking FAU wins. You're on the plus 3.
Yeah, I do. That's the kind of the outcome that I would like the most. I think that would be the most intriguing national championship game. I think from a style perspective, you could argue UConn's been the most dominant team in college basketball this year. And just from a pure raw wins, like Florida Atlantic will have the most wins of any team in the country. So like that's going to be a high level matchup. But again, I just keep going back to the thing with FAU that I don't love about their matchup against UConn is they have a really good big man inside. Vladislav Golden's been fantastic this year. His on-off splits have been phenomenal. But if he gets in foul trouble, they can get real thin real quick against a UConn front line that just keeps coming over and over and over again. I feel like UConn's going to be able to stay really attached to FAU's shooters. So I think UConn's toughest game is this one against Miami. If they get past this one, I think they'll win it all. But man, it's a little scary because this Miami team could really foil all these plans. And then what do we know? Like on Monday, it's probably going to be like San Diego State, Miami, just like we all suspected.
Isaac Trotter of CBS Sports with his thoughts on how to bet tonight's Final Four matchups. The new and improved version of BetQL Daily with brand new co-host Ed Egros hits the air on Monday. So hang with us weekdays, 8 to 11 a.m. on the BetQL Network via 105.9 FM, HD2, Odyssey app, and also the podcast. What am I on? As if you couldn't tell. FAU plus 3. Over 131.5 in that game, too. And in the nightcap, UConn continues to make me money. I'm holding the Huskies 24-1 from right before the tournament, so I don't need to bet them again, but I probably will. Follow me on Twitter at Joe Ostrowski by my name, at Joe Ostrowski. BetQL's countdown to tip-off is next on the score. Back in our usual 8 to 9 a.m. slot next Saturday morning. Cash those tickets. And keep it locked right here on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.